to God's Word, looking for encouragement from His Spirit and from His Word. And please turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're looking at verses 1 to 7. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 to 7. I'm going to read that, and then we will pray together. Hear now God's word. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Will you join with me as we pray together? O God, our Father, as we come to your word, the very word of your Son, Jesus Christ, we ask for your Holy Spirit to illuminate our minds, that we might understand these things that have been written, the Holy Scriptures, and these words for us today. Father, would you give us ears to hear? Father, would you draw your people to yourself? And would you cause your people to be strengthened by the grace that is in the preaching and teaching and hearing of your word? And we ask this confident because we believe in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm not sure if you've heard of the theory called 6 degrees of separation, that you are only 6 introductions away from meeting every person on the planet. That all of our social networks are somehow interconnected. You have a social network of friends, relatives, acquaintances, neighbors, even strangers that you meet, all part of your social network. Paul had a social network. He was connected with many people. And if you were to look at Paul's social network diagram, where he would be a node and he's connected with other nodes with ties connecting these people, his node would be bright red. And then tied to others who would be bright red. Red with the gospel. He was convinced that he was entrusted with the gospel. And he was not keeping it only to himself, but he was passing it on to others. What about you in your social network? Is it kept to yourself, or is it being passed on to others? Paul here is writing to a young man, Timothy, maybe not so young, maybe 50 years old at this time. And Timothy and Paul had this relationship with Timothy for more than 20 years, entrusting the gospel to Timothy. And here in his final letter to him, while still in prison, in bonds and chains, as it says here, he's writing these words to Paul, to Timothy. You then, my child, my son in the faith. This letter is for Timothy, but it's also for us. For we know that all Scripture is profitable. This letter, though is written to a minister of the gospel, it is written to us who have the gospel. Do you know the gospel? Do you know that you have been entrusted with the gospel if you have believed in Jesus Christ? And with that gospel, are you entrusting it to others? Paul gives Timothy three essential components to have a strong gospel ministry. Do you know that you have a gospel ministry? If you're a husband, you have a gospel ministry to your wife. If you have children, as parents, you have a gospel ministry to your children. Those in your community, whoever those people are, if you are passing the gospel on to them, if you are presenting the full gospel and all its implications, how it pertains to life and faith, then that is a gospel ministry. And that's what you are to have. Not just a gospel ministry, but a strong gospel ministry. So what are these three components? They're right there in your outline. Be strong, pass it on, and keep on keeping on. Firstly, be strong. Be strengthened by grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strengthened in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. This morning, I woke up and saw the mountains before me. And I was strengthened by the mountains. We live in Ottawa where there are hills, not mountains. And I was strengthened by those mountains this morning. The mountains have no power, but it's only because it reflects the strength of God, the one who created those mountains. And it's the same for us. We receive strength from God. And what is the source of that strength? It is by grace. Children, if you were to define grace, how would you define grace? In two words, how would you define grace? I learned grace to be undeserved favor from God. It's undeserved. That means we do not merit this grace. We actually demerit anything good from God. But God blesses His people with favor and mercy by grace. It is unmerited. This is the gospel of grace that Paul is entrusting to Timothy. The gospel that says that while we were still sinners in Romans 5, Christ died for us. While we were still weak and ungodly, God showed His favor upon us in strengthening us. The grace here is strength. He gives strength to the weak. That is the grace that we have freely offered to us. Now, the Apostle Paul learned this very deeply in his life. He speaks in 2 Corinthians of a time where he had this thorn in his flesh, a messenger from Satan. We do not know what that was. But Paul pleaded with God to take away this suffering in his life. But the Lord responded to that prayer with those words, "My grace is sufficient for you. For my power is perfected in weakness." And so Paul can say, "I will boast all the more in my weakness, so that the power of Christ might rest upon me." It's by grace freely offered to us. If you are engaged in gospel ministry, you know you need this grace, because strength is sapped from us until we go through periods of dryness, even burnout, where we are left empty with nothing left to give. And that so often happens when we pour ourselves out in gospel ministry without coming to Christ to receive the grace to fill us again. That's my experience of 9.5 years in South Sudan. That's how long we were there, where I thought that pure vision and youthful zeal was enough. I was so driven in those early years that as the years went by, I was driving myself into the ground. where I had nothing left. I felt I had malaria. I knew the symptoms of malaria. But when I would go and get tested, it was negative. I was burnt out. I had nothing left. I could tell myself, be strong, but it would do no good. Until I took time, half a morning every week, to purposefully sit before the Lord in silence and solitude and draw from the grace that is in the Word and in prayer and in fasting and in study, the spiritual disciplines that brought strength to my soul through grace offered in Christ. Now, how about you today? How's your tank? Is it full? Half full? Is it empty? Now come to Christ to be filled up again. Whatever your gospel ministry is, I know mothers, they labor so hard to exhaustion. And grace is offered to you. Whatever evangelistic ministry you're doing, grace is offered to strengthen you in your gospel ministry. And Christ says to each of us in gospel ministry, to come to me and receive my grace, that in your weakness, power would be perfected. You see, grace begins with us. Receiving grace begins with us acknowledging our weakness. That's where it begins. We don't come to God strong, thinking we are able, but we come acknowledging, repenting of our self-reliance and receiving that grace. And then we come to receive the grace, or the only means that God has given to us, the ordinary means of grace. And that is the Word, prayer, and the sacraments. Taking the Word every day and reading the Word, studying the Word, memorizing the Word, hearing the Word preached, and all taking all those four things, meditating upon the Word until it gives grace through the Word. Being rooted in the Word and responding in prayer with praise, thanksgiving, intercession, and confession. And the sacraments of baptism. Children, when you were baptized, that was a means of grace to you. And those who have yet to be baptized, you have trusted in Jesus Christ, be baptized and receive that grace. In the Lord's Supper that's offered to you, you come to the table to receive grace as you feed upon Christ spiritually by faith. God gives His people grace through the ordinary means of grace. Have you received that grace for you to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus? That's the first component. The second is this: to pass on this gospel. Now, if you go back a few verses to understand what Paul had done with Timothy over those 20 years, he entrusted this gospel to Timothy, knowing that his time was short, being confident, as it says in chapter 1, verse 12, that I know whom I believe, and I'm convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. But then he speaks to Timothy, and he says, follow the pattern of sound words, of healthy words. And then in verse 14, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. Timothy now was to take that gospel, to guard it, to keep it, the pattern of sound words. It was now entrusted to him. But was he to keep it to himself? No, he was to pass it on. He was to entrust this gospel to the faithful. Entrust to the faithful. That's the second point. Pass it on, entrust to the faithful. Verse 2. What you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others. The gospel is so valuable, it is not for us to keep it to ourselves, but to pass it on and to entrust. This word entrust means to commit, to assign responsibility to another. And so the purpose for us to be strong is to pass it on, to entrust to others. Now, to whom do we entrust the gospel? The first meaning is clear, that Paul was to entrust to faithful men. Men. Men who were qualified for the ministry of the gospel. And in 1 Timothy chapter 3, we see the qualifications of these men. These are elders in the church. That is the first meaning of this text. But there's a principle here. There's a principle for all of us to see here. The principle of multiplication. Of the gospel being passed on from one generation to the next. Do you see that here? There are three generations, not counting Paul. Paul had passed it on to Timothy. Timothy is to pass it on to faithful men. And these are faithful men who are able to pass it on to others. Three generations of the gospel being passed on from one generation to the other. Now, what are the consequences of not passing it on? The consequences are dire. Extinction. And if you look at church history, there are places in this world where the gospel has become extinct. There are unreached, unevangelized, unengaged peoples where once the gospel was flourishing. In Canada, the RP church almost died. There was a time where there were over 100 Reformed Presbyterian churches in Canada. And 40 years ago, there was only one left. Really, there was another one, but it was practically dead. It was revived and is now a church called Hudson St. Lazare. And the one that was still remaining in that church, there were two women, two old women, that prayed for a renewal and revival of the RP church in Canada. And 40 years ago, there was a man who came to Ottawa with his family, not a Canadian, a Jew, a Messianic Jew from the Bronx, Pastor Richard Gans. And if you saw pictures of him, he was wearing jeans and a t-shirt and a big afro, long hair, preaching the gospel in Canada. And his vision was to train faithful men, to entrust the gospel to Canadian men. And he did it. He opened Ottawa Theological Hall, and many men were trained. Some of them went to the United States of America. Some of them in Canada, planting churches. Myself, going to South Sudan. Many men were trained. And the vision is still alive. Do you know that our model, our Canadian model, is that He will have dominion from sea to sea, from Psalm 72:8. And Canada now is as secular as Britain. The gospel is near to be extinct unless men are raised up for gospel ministry. Unless people like you, where ministers of the gospel are equipping the saints for the work of ministry. Here in America and around the world, this is God's vision. This is how God works. God's method are God's men. God will work through people for the gospel to spread from one generation to the next. Are you convinced that that is the only way, and that you are part of that multiplication. It is for us, as Timothy, for him, to find faithful people that we might entrust the gospel to. Who are these faithful people? If you look even in 1 Timothy chapter 3 of elders and deacons and many descriptions of how we are to live our lives, what faithfulness looks like, these are the people we look for. Who are those people in your social network who are faithful, reliable, dependable? When you entrust the most valuable thing in the world, the gospel of God, who are those people you can pass it on to? You know very well that the gospel ministry is not easy. It is going to bring suffering. If you are in gospel ministry, you know that it is hard. And that is what Paul is reminding Timothy of the suffering that is involved in gospel ministry. Where he says in verse 3, share in suffering, endure hardship. Where even in chapter 1, verse 8, Paul reminds Timothy that he himself is that model, that example of sharing in suffering. When he says, share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. Paul gave that example to Timothy. And now Timothy is to go into another 30 more years of gospel ministry, enduring hardship and sharing in that suffering. And he gives us three analogies to this third component of gospel ministry. And that is to keep on keeping on sharing in suffering for the gospel. And these three analogies are this: sharing suffering as a good soldier, as an athlete, and as a hardworking farmer. So firstly, as a good soldier in verse 3. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Verse 4. No soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs or civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. A good soldier. What is a good soldier? A good soldier is one who is single-minded, who does not get entangled in civilian affairs, worldly concerns, but one who is focused with one purpose, one aim, and that is to please the commanding officer. To please the one who gives the orders. Jesus Christ gave many orders to his disciples, and he warned them that as they obey those orders, that they would suffer. He said, if they persecute me, they will persecute you. And then Paul tells Timothy in this letter that if anyone wishes to live a godly life, they will be persecuted. For those in gospel ministry, they will endure the hardship of persecution and suffering as a good soldier. How concentrated are you to hear those orders from your commanding officer? If you are a Christian, if you are in Christ, you are a soldier. You are enlisted in his army. But how good of a soldier are you? I want to tell you a story of a man called David Wilkerson. He wrote a book called The Cross and the Switchblade. He took a pastorate in a country church in 1958. And it was a flourishing ministry. But he became discontent. And one night as he was watching TV, as he normally does for 2 hours in the evening, he realized that during that time, he could be praying. And so he sold his TV away and he began to pray, to consecrate that time for reading, studying of Scripture and praying. And during one of those nights, he took a Time magazine and he found an article about these gangs in New York City that were wreaking havoc. And in reading those articles, he received a call, orders from his commanding officer to go to New York City. And he began a ministry that is now called Teen Challenge. And it is working with addicts and prostitutes and gangs in more than 80 countries in the world. And it began with hearing those orders as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Christ is worthy of your undistracted devotion to Him. We are so distracted in our culture. We're called the distracted society. Social media, Netflix, video games. What are the things that are distracting you? Some things are very good. Some things are useless and having no eternal value whatsoever. But what is your single focus in life? What is your aim? Is it Christ? To obey Christ as your commanding officer, as a good soldier? That's the one who suffers. As you do, it requires suffering. Whatever those things that distract you, Christ is calling you to put them away and to focus on Him alone as your commanding officer and as a good soldier. So we keep on keeping on suffering as a good soldier, but secondly, we keep on keeping on as an athlete. As an athlete, in verse 5, an athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. An athlete knows that he must run the race according to the regulations, according to the rules set before him. To be an athlete that follows the laws of the sport. Otherwise, the athlete will be disqualified and not receive the prize. Paul uses this analogy of the runner throughout his letters. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he speaks of the one that he considers as himself, the one who runs to get the prize. He doesn't run aimlessly, but disciplines his body to keep it under control, lest when he preaches, he would not be disqualified. Do you see yourself as an athlete in this race? That there are no shortcuts. There is a race, a corridor to run until the end, and not to turn from the right or to the left, and running that race to gain the victor's crown. You know that in Canada, when an athlete wins a gold medal at the Olympics, the country is very proud because we don't have too many who win gold medals. And in 1998, a man named Ben Johnson won the 100-meter sprint in world record time. And as a young boy, I was jumping in my basement. I was elated. I was so proud to be a Canadian. And I kept on watching the Olympics, and 3 days later, breaking news. Ben Johnson was tested positive for steroids. Oh, what shame. I was so angry. And this man, Ben Johnson, brought shame to millions of Canadians. He was disqualified from that race. He was stripped of his gold medal. And that world record is not in the books. We have a race to run. And a race to run it according to the rules. And God has given us this corridor to run, the Scriptures, for us to run in them. Do you know that when you disciple, it involves teaching your disciples everything that Christ has commanded? As you teach your children, you teach them through the moral law. God has given us this race to run as an athlete. And those in gospel ministry, whether members of the church or those who are ordained ministers, have a great responsibility to show and give an example to those that we are discipling of what it means to run this race after Christ and receive the crown in the end. But do you know that so many people cause others to stumble because they fall into moral failure, especially leaders in the church? What a responsibility we have in gospel ministry to run this race, to suffer as an example for others. And then we too will run and receive the prize in the end. There are three crowns for those who finish this race: the crown of life, the crown of glory, the crown of righteousness in the end. That we can cast those crowns upon Christ, the one who ran the race before us as our forerunner, finishing with Him and by Him. So keep on keeping on as an athlete. Thirdly, keep on keeping on as a hard-working farmer, verse 6. It is the hard-working farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. How many farmers do we have here today? I love this analogy of the farmer. Farmers work hard. They are up early and they go to bed late. There's an elder, a ruling elder in Canada, who preaches 2 to 3 times a week on top of being a hard-working farmer. He works hard. Hard-working farmers. That is what we are described to be. Hard-working farmers. Farmers who sow the seed with the hope of sharing in the harvest. Every farmer knows that. That there is a reward for their labor, for those who work hard. The one who's a sluggard gets nothing in the end, but the hard-working farmer will receive what is promised. Psalm 126:5 says, "Those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy." And this has been part of my testimony, where my wife and I, in those early years in South Sudan, we cried. We pleaded with God, "Give us strength," because we didn't see any fruit for years. For the first few years, I poured myself out into a group of men, and they all left, and we had to start over again. But we shed tears for many years, until as God and His grace enabled us to persevere through those early years, we began to see the first fruits. And by the end of our time there, we began to see a harvest. And the harvest continues there with the Cush for Christ team. And in South Sudan, for those who have sown in tears, there is a harvest to come. And in gospel ministry, God extends a promise to those who are weary. And He says, "Let us not grow weary, for there will be in due season a reaping for all those who are hardworking farmers, if we do not give up." And so many people give up before the harvest that is to come. As hardworking farmers, we labor in the gospel. until we see that harvest. Do you believe that even here, God has so much more for you? As you sow the seed of the word faithfully in gospel ministry, that there is yet a greater harvest to come. Do not lose heart. Do not grow weary in trusting the gospel to others. To have a gospel ministry, a strong gospel ministry, we have to recognize that there will be suffering. There will be hardship. It comes with it. And so many people, when they start to experience suffering, start to experience frustration, they run. But that is part of it. You continue to keep on keeping on. As Paul says to Timothy in this chapter, I endure all things, everything. There will be so many various trials that will come to you. But by grace, to endure them all. For what? For the sake of the elect, that they might obtain salvation, and with it, eternal glory. We endure all things as a good soldier, undistracted in our devotion to the Lord, as an athlete, running this race for the crown without being disqualified, as a hardworking farmer, laboring with the gospel until we receive the joy of the harvest. And we endure all of these things because Christ went before us as the Lord of hosts, our commander, as the forerunner who ran ahead of us and received the crown, as a sower of the gospel. We endure all things because He endured even suffering of the cross, of the shame of the cross for you. And He was buried, He was raised, and He was exalted above all. And He has poured out His Spirit upon us that we might see days of harvest. These are the last days. These are the days of harvest among the peoples of the world, even here. Christ has won for us that harvest. These things are very deep. Do you understand them? Where Paul says to Timothy, think over what I say. All of these things, these essential components to a gospel ministry, it is for us to meditate upon these things, for you to go home and to think upon these things, to reflect upon them, to think for understanding. That's the concluding point. Think for understanding. In verse 7, think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Paul is telling Timothy to reflect, to meditate on these things. Then he will be given insight and wisdom. It's not a cursory reading of the Scriptures, but a meditating upon the Scriptures. That is our part. And the Lord's part is for Him to give us by His Spirit spiritual understanding and wisdom into these things. That's exactly how Jesus, in the final words to His disciples in Luke 24, where it says that He opened the mind of the disciples so that they would understand the things in the Scriptures. And then He summarizes the gospel message in this, that Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. That's the gospel message. The death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ. But there's also the gospel call. Repentance for the forgiveness of sins. That this call will be preached to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. Now, see how the gospel has been passed on from Jerusalem through every successive generation. And it has reached you in Colorado Springs, where the gospel has been entrusted to you. Now, what have you done with the gospel? Where Paul is telling Timothy here, guard the good deposit. I'm sure you are doing that. But as you've been entrusted with the gospel, are you then also entrusting it to the faithful? Keep on keeping on. If you are, if you are not, then begin. Throughout your social network, think of those people that you are connected to. Call them up and say, let's meet. I have the most valuable thing that I know to pass on to you. Now, Christ is worthy. Christ comes to us in our weakness. And He says, be strong. And He says to you, then pass on this gospel message. And keep on keeping on by my grace. It is for His glory. It is for His kingdom. It is for His name's sake that we all can have a gospel, a strong gospel ministry. Let's pray together. Father, we give You thanks and praise for You strengthen us when we are weak, and forgive us when we trust in our own strength in gospel ministry. Enable us to turn away from this self-reliance and enable us to trust and treasure Christ and His grace above all, to strengthen us, to be strong, to pass on Your gospel, and to keep on keeping on by gospel grace. Father, I pray Your blessing upon the preaching and hearing of Your word, that it would have the effect of strengthening Your people from here, as the gospel goes out from here to the ends of the earth. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We go from strength to strength.